In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit, one God. The dear ones, history is full of great men. People who did wondrous deeds. People who held power over millions. People who spread and destroyed empires. People who wrote works of great wisdom. But no man but Christ alone has ever proposed to have power over death itself. No man has stood above death and proved it powerless. Christ today in this gospel declares war against death. This is the nature of the Christian life. To declare war against death and all of the sin that comes with it. Years ago, I saw inside of a church an icon, a rather unusual icon of one of the archangels. And in this particular icon, the archangel Michael was holding a sword, but the sword was lowered, almost set down. He was barely holding it. And I spoke with a priest who said he had talked to the iconographer about this. And he asked the iconographer why it is that he depicted the archangel, who's usually shown holding a spear or the sword uplifted, why he showed it set down. And the iconographer said, "Oh, because there's too much violence in the world. And I wanted to show that this is a peace-loving religion. And really, we ought to be pacifists in many ways. And so I don't like the warfare imagery in the icons. And so I chose to show him with the sword down." The priest was happy that a few years later, the parish replaced the icon with a proper one, with a traditional icon where the sword is uplifted. And I remember him saying to me how disappointed he was in this iconographer's interpretation of the archangel holding the sword up. Spiritual warfare is a necessary and daily part of our lives. We can't be pacifists in the sense of just sitting back and expecting that somehow good is still going to triumph over evil. If good is going to triumph over evil, it first has to triumph in the human heart. That's where the battlefield is. That's where the warfare takes place. This is why we have no problem depicting our warrior saints holding their spears and swords, dressed in their military uniforms, because it's an image of what our entire lives should be like. We engage in warfare daily by living the spiritual life. This battle over death must take place in every human heart. We do have choice as human beings, but the choice is not that nothing will have sway over us and we can just be completely in control of ourselves. One side or the other is going to win. It's either life or death. It's eternity or destruction. It's renewal or corruption. That's our choice. There's an incredible story of Saint Anthony the Great when he closed himself off in a cave. He lived as a hermit. And the only contact he had with people was there was a really tiny hole looking into the cave in which they would put little pieces of bread. And he barely ate a thing. But he would spend his days doing prostration, fasting, praying for years in this small cave. And every now and then people would approach the cave and they'd hear sounds. They'd hear the sound of swords clanging violently against shields, as if a raging battle were being engaged in there. And the first time this happened, they became a little worried and thought, "What in the world is going on? Did somebody get in there? Are they attacking Anthony? What are we going to do?" And so they ran up to this little hole and peeked inside. And what did they see? They saw Saint Anthony standing as he usually was, praying. Outwardly, there was a position of stillness, but inwardly, there was a raging battle going on. Search out the scriptures and search out the hymns and the prayers of the church, and what you'll find is imagery of warfare everywhere. Just this morning, in doing the exorcism prayers in the back of the church, the newly illumined handmaid of God, Elizabeth, was called what? A newly enlisted soldier of Christ. This is the imagery of the church. Christ is our grand general, constantly battling death on our behalf. And we await his instructions and the commandments, and we carry them out so that we too can be members of this victory. We want death to look at us and see the ultimate victor, Christ, and run in terror. This is the goal of the Christian life, to have Christ dwell so abundantly in your heart that when death sees you, he sees Christ. He sees him who is life. And death shudders. Death runs in fear. I read an article about a recent conference that took place in the UK, and it was a conference on the subject of orthodoxy and sexuality and modern sexual issues. And it was a really disappointing conference in many ways. And one of the things that was very prevalent in this article was the author was applauding the fact and rejoicing the fact that he said views from across the spectrum on these issues were present at this conference. And everyone spoke openly, and everyone had a good time, and they exchanged ideas, and no one felt threatened or felt like they were being pushed over or somehow overshadowed by one idea over another. This view is insanity to us. There is no spectrum of ideas here. It's not just about equal but opposing ideas. It's not about that at all. And it's not just about truth versus falsehood. If we understand orthodox dogmas correctly, we understand that they are medicines, and that the doctrines and holy mysteries of the church and the entire Christian life arms us. It arms us in righteousness to fight the battle against death. This is a battle of life versus death. In saying that every view on the spectrum was available at this conference, what he was really saying was that death and life were equally represented. That is no Christian life. There's no victory in that when we give death as much sway as life over us. People are trying to bring death into the church. In trying to modernize things, in trying to bring modern morality, which is immorality all over, into the church, in trying to break down old traditions, saying that somehow we know how to do it better than our fathers knew how to do it, in trying to reinterpret church history in negative terms, like in terms of patriarchy and things like that, what we're really doing is we're trying to mix oil and water. We're trying to mix life and death. Now, we may not fear being deceived by this, because we may think, well, I try to firmly root myself in the fathers. But we delude ourselves. I was reading Elder Sophroni yesterday, who said, as long as we continue to be slaves to sin, we have to view ourselves as the first among those in delusion, the first among those who are deluded. And in order to fight against that delusion, we must take up the weapons of war. Take up prayer, fasting, prostrations, all the things you hear Father and I talking about all the time. Confession, almsgiving, all of the virtues and all the holy mysteries. Take those up and fight death. As long as we're slaves to sin, every sin becomes a self-inflicted wound in which we invite death back into our souls. But every victory over sin, every virtue that we obtain, every single repentant tear is a blow against death and an invitation of immortality to enter and transfigure our souls. This is the reality. We all struggle with that topic of boredom in prayer, yes? Sometimes we become bored in prayer. We have to learn how to fire ourselves up to re-engage the battle. And part of that is just simply realizing that this is a battle. It's not just checking off the boxes. That's what we have to avoid. This is not about saying, I prayed just for the fact that I could say I prayed. Rather, it's about engaging in the battle. It's about realizing that it's death. It's the devil who's trying to make us not care about these things. It's the devil who's trying to make us bored. It's the devil who's trying to make us ambivalent towards the spiritual life. It's re-engaging the spiritual life as a battle for the very eternity of our souls. It's about going to war. What soldier has ever been in the midst of battle, put down his weapon and said, I'm bored, and walked off the battlefield? But this is what we do when we abandon the spiritual fight. This is what we do when we embrace the worldly life over the spiritual. We put down our sword, we put down our shield, and we completely ignore that there is an army waiting to fight against us, to destroy us, and to drag us into their camps, beat us, and kill us. We have to earn and re-earn and reclaim the title of soldier of Christ daily. What is St. Paul saying in today's epistle about salvation? It's an incredible line for those who believe in the theology of once saved, always saved. When were you saved is their question. When were you saved? When did you confess Christ? And they can tell you the date and the time, the hour. But St. Paul says today, behold, now is the acceptable time. Behold, now is the day of salvation. Today is the day of salvation. Reclaiming this identity as a soldier of Christ and defeating death is a daily work of the Christian. Every day we seek to defeat sin and defeat death within us by fighting it. But never forget there's joy in the fight. There's a lot of joy in the fight because Christ so stacks things in our favor. No matter how many times we're wounded by death, no matter how many times we fall away, no matter how ambivalent we become, He's yearning to bring us back, to heal us through confession, and to arm us against the holy mystery of communion with His body and blood. Elder Sophroni, once again, once said of his monks, Metropolitan Hierotheos Vlachos was visiting him as a spiritual father. And Elder Sophroni said, look at all of my monks. He said, all you see on their faces is joy and peace. When you talk with them, they radiate light. But he said, don't be deceived. Don't be deceived. Because there is a raging battle for eternity occurring within their hearts at this very moment. He likened his monks to birds on an electrical wire. He said, the bird stands there as if nothing's going on, but there's pulsating electricity that could kill you happening, pulsating through it at every single moment. This is the Christian life. Joyful. And yes, even peaceful. But within the heart, that battle rages on. We never put down our weapons. We never stop being warriors of Christ. I want to end today with the words of St. Justin Popovich, who describes this battle between life and death, between the passions and Christ for us, in such beautiful and instructive ways. St. Justin writes this: if a man fights with sins and passions, this demonstrates that he indeed believes in the risen Lord. If he fights with them, he fights for life eternal. If he does not fight, his faith is in vain. If man's faith is not a fight for immortality and eternity, then tell me, what is it? If faith in Christ does not bring us to resurrection and life eternal, then what use is it to us? If Christ is not risen, that means that neither sin nor death have been vanquished. So why believe in Christ? For the one who, by faith in the risen Lord, fights with each of his sins, there will be affirmed in him gradually the feeling that Christ is indeed risen, has indeed vanquished the sting of sin, has indeed vanquished death on all fronts of combat. Sin gradually diminishes the soul in man, driving it into death, transforming it from immortality to mortality, from incorruption to corruption. The more the sins, the more the mortal becomes the man. If man does not feel immortality in himself, know that he is in sin, in bad thoughts, in languid feelings. Christianity is an appeal. Fight with death until the last breath. Fight until a final victory has been reached. Every sin is a desertion. Every passion is a retreat. Every vice is a defeat. Dear ones, there's not a single one of us who wouldn't want to know the outcomes of things like sporting events beforehand. We could bet on the winner and we could make a lot of money. This is like the whole entire theme of, what was it, Back to the Future 2 or something? Biff gets the almanac with all the sporting events in it, and that's how he makes his millions, by betting on this. I bet Back to the Future has never been mentioned in a sermon before, but today it has been. We know the results of this war. A lot of times we become so, as St. Justin Popovich says, we become languid, we become sorrowful, we become tired in the fight. Fighting this daily fight can be exhausting, but we know the results of this. This isn't about fighting so that we will have ultimate victory. It's about fighting so that we can be on the side of Christ, because we already know Him to be the victor. We know the results of this fight. It's up to us, whether we choose to be on the side of life or the side of death. If you find yourself slowing down in the spiritual life, becoming ambivalent, becoming careless, becoming even bored in the spiritual life, remind yourself, this is a battle for eternity. Re-enter the battle, revitalized, energized, taking up your sword and your shield, taking up your weapons, and beating back death by inviting Christ to fight in your behalf. Dear ones, we know the results of the victory. Death will lose. It's up to us which side we want to be on. Take up the fight and take it up daily. This is the Christian life. Amen.